So it's my deep honor and privilege to be able to speak from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It seems like it's been ages since I'm sitting on the Vyasasana and speaking and seeing so many familiar faces again. It's wonderful. And to see many new fresh faces also. So today we'll be reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter number 22, entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And the verse we're reading today is up on the board, is text number 261, but we're reading from 256 to 261. The previous verses have no purport. So reading from text number 256. These two verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya will always declare his name and fame as loudly as a pounding drum, for they have become pearl necklaces around the necks of all devotees. Indeed, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became an unalloyed devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not know anything but the service of the Lord. Text 258. The Bhattacharya always chanted the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, son of Mother Sachi and reservoir of all good qualities. Indeed, chanting the holy names became his meditation. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and after offering obeisances, began to recite a verse. Text 260. He began to quote one of Lord Brahma's prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam, but he changed two syllables at the end of the verse. So now we come to the verse on the board, which is 261, translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Bhattacharya recited, "One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, body, and words, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When reciting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya changed the original reading from Mukti Pade to Bhakti Pade. Mukti means liberation and merging into the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Bhakti means rendering transcendental service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of having developed pure devotional service, the Bhattacharya did not like the word Muktipade, which refers to the impersonal feature of the Lord. However, he was not authorized to change a word in Srimad Bhagavatam, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will explain. Although the Bhattacharya changed the word in his devotional ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve of it. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padansahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sut Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschachadeshatarine, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation again. The Bhattacharya recited, "One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee." So this is a beautiful chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the verses that we're reading today, we see the effect and the degree of transformation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. At the end of this chapter, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a very nice metaphor. And it is the metaphor of the touchstone. And this metaphor is very relevant, because as explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, if one sees a touchstone, one will never recognize its value. It looks like a very ordinary stone. But when you take that touchstone and you touch iron, that iron becomes transformed into gold. And then one looked very ordinary, one realizes its value. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one knew about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one knew about the potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched the biggest, the greatest of the Mayavadis, and he transformed him, then everybody stood up and recognized, this is someone very potent. This is someone great. The devotees of the Lord are always, we've been criticized, even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he met the Mayavadis of Benares, they use the word Bhuvikaha, a fanatic. They told Mahaprabhu, "You are a sannyasi. You should be studying Vedanta, but you are acting like a Bhuvikaha, a fanatic." In the study of religion, you get two types of people. Or two types of religion. One is called popular, and the other one is called reflective. Popular religion is for the enthusiastic, the energetic, the ones who sing and dance and bang tambourines and cymbals on the street. Very emotional. And the reflective is for the intellectual, the sober, the bourgeois, And the devotees of the Lord are commonly stereotyped in the category of popular. Popular, very enthusiastic, but in one way, classing them as low class. The popular devotees are the low class. The reflective are the high class. Once Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was giving a lecture to the American Academy of Religion. And he was explaining this point, that in the study of religion you see the popular and the reflective. But the real essence of religion is when both are integrated. When you have the emotional and you have the intellectual. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was classified as popular. And this is what happened if you just do a quick summary of this chapter. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a young sannyasi, had traveled from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. He saw Lord Jagannath for the first time. And the moment he saw Lord Jagannath, he went into ecstasy and he fainted. And there you have this young sannyasi fainted in front of Lord Jagannath in a temple, really busy temple, people moving. And the guards immediately came to say, let's get this person out. Wanted to beat him and remove him from the temple. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was the head priest of the Jagannath temple. And he immediately recognized that this person is not an ordinary person. He stopped the guards and he had them carry Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the home of Bhattacharya, there was no sign of any movement, any breathing. And everyone thought he had died. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had his own way of testing. He took a cotton swab and he put it under the nostrils of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the cotton swab moved. And he knew, yes, he's still alive, but he's in another dimension. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had a concern. Here is a young sannyasi, extremely attractive, but doesn't know Vedanta. He's in a very dangerous position. He's going to fall down for sure. There's only one way to save him. And how? Teach him Vedanta. Because if you are established in Vedanta, you are established in the Siddhanta, you are established in knowledge, then you become fixed up. You won't fall down. So he said, let me teach the sannyasi. And he spoke to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you know, you are a lower class sannyasi. You took initiation from Keshava Bharati. He is from a lower grade sannyas. I will now raise you to a higher degree sannyas. I will re-initiate you. And people will see you differently. And in one sense, this was a big insult to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we read earlier, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were very upset about this. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that was his mood. And the devotees went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they were becoming angry. But Mahaprabhu said, why are you becoming angry? You know, he's in the mood of a father. He's thinking of my goodwill. So don't become angry. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided that he will teach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vedanta. So for 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recited Vedanta. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu humbly sat there and just listened. Just listened, not saying anything. And after 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "So you've been listening? Yes. You understand? Yes. You have any questions? No. But if one who's listened, heard, and understood, he must have questions." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well, I understand Vedanta. But what you spoke was not Vedanta. That is the commentary of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Sarika Sarirakya Bhasya. That's not Vedanta." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain the meaning of Vedanta to Sarvabhauma. And Sarvabhauma was like shocked. This sannyasi hardly knew anything. And at some point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this one verse from Lord Shiva. And this verse was very, very deep in the scripture. Very deep, you know, you don't know where it is. And he quoted, he said, this is Lord Shiva addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. "Please make the general populace averse to me by imagining your own interpretation." No, sorry. The Supreme Personality of Godhead told Lord Shiva, "Please make the general populace averse to me by imagining your own interpretation of the Vedas. Also cover me in such a way that people will take more interest in advancing material civilization just to propagate a population bereft of spiritual knowledge." Then Lord Shiva informs Durga, the superintendent of the material world, "In the age of Kali, I take the form of a Brahmana and explain the Vedas through false scriptures in the atheistic way similar to Buddhist philosophy." So here is the evidence that this philosophy of Shankaracharya, it was not the real philosophy. It was spoken for a particular time, for a particular purpose, and it is covered by the mode of ignorance. So deep in the scripture, how could this so-called ignorant sannyasi know this? So Sarvabhauma was shocked. It reminds me of a pastime with Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada had built the Vrindavan temple, and Prabhupada wanted all the big dignitaries of Vrindavan to attend the grand opening. So one of the biggest sadhus in Vrindavan was the biggest leader of the Mayavadis, Kapatri Maharaj. So Yashomati Nandan Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, was sent to invite some of these dignitaries. So he went to the ashram near Danuk Ashram, Karpatri Maharaj. So he said, "We came here to invite you to the opening of our Krishna Balaram temple." He looked and said, "I'm not coming." "Why?" "I don't agree with what your Guru Maharaj did." "Why?" "He is making Brahmanas of third-class people from the Western world. I won't come because I don't agree with what he's doing." So Yashomati Nanda Prabhu said, "But why you say that? Guna karma vibhagasha. It's by qualities and activities, guna and karma, that one is said to be a brahmana, not by janma. And these Vaishnavas, you can see, they get up early in the morning, they chant the holy names, they are very pure in their habits. Whole day they are preaching the message of Bhagavad Dharma. How can you say that?" He says, "No, I don't agree." So Yashomati Nandan Prabhu, in his early days, Prabhupada had taught him one verse. One verse very deep in the scripture to counteract this. the last verse from the 7th canto of the 11th chapter. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam pumsho varna bivyag jakam yad anyatrapi drisyeta tatneva vinir dishet. If one shows the simple symptoms of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. And when Yashomanti Nandan Prabhu quoted this verse, Kapatri Maharaj's eyes became big. He said, "Oh, your Guru Maharaj has trained you all very well. Your Guru Maharaj has trained you all very well." So deep in the scriptures. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was seeing how this sannyasi, deep in the scriptures, he knows this. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this beautiful and famous verse known as the Atmarama verse. Atmaramas cha munayo nigranta api urakrame kurvanti haitukam bhakti hitam bhuto guna hari. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. Now the whole philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the scholars have studied, it can be summarized in one term. And that's the term of Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan means, besides the definition of having all six opulences, is one who possesses all potencies. Because if one can prove that someone has potencies, one has capabilities, then one can prove that he's a person. So we see in this conversation prior to this with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has really emphasized this concept, this principle of Bhagavan. So he quoted this verse, this Atmarama verse. And then Bhattacharya was impressed. He said, "Please explain it." And Mahaprabhu said, No. "You explain first, I'll listen." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained this verse in 9 different ways. And then he turned to Mahaprabhu and said, "Now you explain." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took each word and explained this verse in 21 different ways without even touching any of the 9 ways in which Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained it. And then when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this, in his own way he understood, here is God. Just like in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Gornita Ki. So just like Jambavan, he was fighting with Lord Krishna. And he didn't know Lord Krishna was God. But as he was fighting and he was seeing the prowess of God, of Lord Krishna, then he understood, yes, here is God. So in his own way, he came to understand who is God. So in his own way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to understand who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he surrendered. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being merciful to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, firstly showed him his four-armed Vishnu form, and then showed him his two-armed Shyamasundara form of Krishna in Vrindavan. And he went into ecstasy. And then he was completely transformed. So this is where we get to in this particular chapter. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has been transformed. And this transformation is actually groundbreaking. It's groundbreaking because here we have the greatest, the most prominent of all the Mayavadi philosophers now becoming a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not becoming just a devotee, becoming an ecstatic devotee. Actually, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had met Prakashananda Sarasvati, who was the chief of Mayavadis in Banaras, he still couldn't get his head around what happened to Sarvabhauma. He was saying, yes, a sannyasi, but he was thinking, he said, you know, I don't know what magic you did with Sarvabhauma. Honestly, I don't know. You know, all I can see you is that you are a sentimental sannyasi. I don't know what magic you did with him. So, this was indeed a groundbreaking. And here we see in these verses the extent of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's transformation. So, that transformation was very, very deep. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in these verses, the first part of his transformation was displayed in the gratitude, in the feelings he had for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the spot, he had composed 100 verses. And then we heard in the prior verses to this, he composed these two verses which are regarded, as is said in these verses, they are like they are the drum that pounded the name and fame of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had written these two verses on a leaf. He had sent it with Mahaprabhu's servant to give it to him. But just before Mahaprabhu's servant had entered, one of his associates said, let me see. And he looked at the verse and he wrote it on the wall, these two verses. And they gave it to the verses to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The moment he saw it, it was glorifying him, he ripped it apart, threw it away. But lucky for us, that devotee had written it on the wall. And these, you hear Prabhupada quote these verses so often in his classes. Vairajya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. The glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya, so Sarvabhauma had now expressed his feelings for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. Now he wanted to express what he felt about bhakti. What his realizations was about bhakti. And how did he do that? He did it in this verse. This verse is a verse spoken by Lord Brahma. It's a very, very famous verse. Most of us probably know it. It is. But what did he do? He took two words, two syllables, and he changed it. In the last line, it says, Jiveta yo muktipada sadayabhak. That's Lord Brahma's verse. But what did he do? He took out mukti, and what did he put there? Bhakti. Because he wanted to express himself. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, 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 no. I don't approve of this. This is not good. You don't do it. Now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being the greatest Vedantist and the scholar, he knew very well that you never change. You never change the Shastra. Shastra Pramanam. The Vedic scriptures, they are so sacred. Pramana means evidence. And there's various of evidences. And there's the sadhu, the evidence, sadhu praman, and then there's shabda praman, the Vedic evidence. The Vedic evidence is never ever tampered with. When I was reading Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, in the early days, Srila Prabhupada would give Bhagavad Gita class every evening. And Prabhupada never had his own Bhagavad Gita then. So he would have the devotees read from which Bhagavad Gita? Anyone knows? Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita. The Mayavadi, Dr. Radhakrishnan. The one Srila Prabhupada was so critical of. The one who said we should not surrender to the person Krishna, but we should surrender to the unborn within Krishna. And Prabhupada said, what nonsense is this? But every day, Srila Prabhupada would have them read from the Bhagavad Gita of Dr. Radhakrishnan. And I was thinking, but what's going on here? What is Prabhupada getting them to read from the Bhagavad Gita of Dr. Radhakrishnan, a thoroughbred Mayavadi? And then I realized one day, it's because, and Prabhupada said it, even the translations, Prabhupada said, Dr. Radhakrishnan's was 90% accurate. But the actual Sanskrit was 100%, because in the Vedic tradition, you never tamper with this. You never tamper with it. Because Shruti Praman, Shrabda Praman, the evidence, this is the foundation of Vedic knowledge. Therefore we see in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, he's explaining the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And he enumerates in chapter number, I think 6, the 64 principles. And then he says, now I will give the praman. Now I will give the evidence for each of these 64 qualities, quoting from the Shastras. He says, Artha Shanu Matenesham Udharananam Iryate. He could have very easily said, now I will quote from Sanatana Goswami, because he says these principles he got from Hari Bhakti Vilas. But he doesn't say that. He says, now I will quote from the Shastras. And in one purport, Prabhupada explains the importance. Actually, it was in one lecture on Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, sometimes we argue. Somebody has said like this, some Mahatma has said like this. That is not very valued argument. Valued argument is when you quote from the Vedic literature. That is valuable. Veda Praman. Shruti Praman. The Shruti Praman is accepted among the authorities. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the acharyas, they write comments on any authoritative book, immediately giving quotations from Vedas to support his comments. Otherwise, a personal comment has no meaning. If I comment on some Vedic literature on my own personal point of view, that is useless. It has no meaning, but it is going on. Oh, such and such person. So Vedic Praman is, you don't touch, you don't tamper, you don't alter. This is the evidence, this is the substance. So Srila Prabhupada, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instilling the same principle. The same principle. And we see this, there's this pastime of Arjunacharya. Arjunacharya was a great Brahmana, a great Vedic authority. And he was commenting on the Bhagavad Gita. He was reading the Bhagavad Gita. And we know in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9:22, Ananyas Chintayantu Mam, Je Janaha Paripasate, Teshamni Yukta Nityabhi Yuktanam, Yoga Shemam, Vahamiyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So he was going through the Bhagavad Gita and he came to this verse. And when he looked at this word, Vahami, it means, I carry. It means Krishna is personally carrying. And he said, no, this can't be true. Where would Krishna personally carry what they lack? So he struck out Vahami and he wrote Karomi. Karomi means I arrange. So every day he would go out to beg. And he went out to beg. And while he went out to beg, two beautiful boys knocked on the door of his house. And his wife opened the door. And she looked at these two beautiful boys. And they had so much of boga. And they said, please take it, please take it, take it, we have to go. And she accepted it and she said, what's wrong? Why are you so afraid? Why you seem so tense? He said, no, your husband is very cruel. He'll beat us up. He's very cruel. He'll beat us up. And quickly they gave the boga and they went away. So the lady, she cooked. And, she said, yeah, the boy said, your husband had sent this. And they had eaten. And she had eaten. So when the husband came back, he saw the wife has eaten. And this is according to Vedic tradition, the wife never eats. And she said, what happened? Why are you eating? And she said, no, you sent this boga and you said cook and, you know. So I followed your instruction. He said, I didn't do that. She said, tell me what happened. And she said the whole story about these two young boys. And how they were so afraid. And one of them even showed how you had scratched him on his back. So the point of this pastime is that one does not tamper. One does not change even one syllable in the Vedic literature. One never does that. So some of us may say, yes, I know that. I don't do that. I don't change, and I wouldn't get into that. I just wanted to make one point, that how subtle this is. How subtle this is. Every morning, we do Tulsi Aarti. I'm not having a go at anyone. We chant a pranam mantra for Tulsi Devi. From the Padma Purana. Om Vrindayai Tulasi Devi. Priyaya Kesavasya Vishnu Bhakti Pradadevi Satyavachai Namo Namaha. That's what we chant. Often I hear devotees, they say, Om Vrindayai Tulasi Devyai Priyaya Kesavasya Krishna Bhakti Pradadevi Satyavachai Namo Namaha. This is from the Padma Purana. Yes, it's our bhav. But we never change anything. I even went and looked on the internet. I see some websites, ISKCON websites. This is the pranam mantra for Tulsi they are giving. They're changing Vishnu, they're putting Krishna. Krishna's name is Mukunda, one who gives liberation. Now we're going to take Krishna's name Mukunda away. Sarvabhauma, you changed, you took Mukti Pade. And you put Bhakti Pade, Krishna is no more Mukunda. We don't change. We don't change. And we know this is famous verse, Martavya Satatam Vishnur Vishmartavyona Jatuchet Sarvavidi Nishadesh Yo Siu Eta Yo Eva Kinkara. Srila Rupa Goswami says, if you can encapsulate all the principles of bhakti in one statement, what would that encapsulation be? It's this verse, to always remember and never forget Krishna. The verse here is Vishnu, so we'll go and change it now, we'll make it Krishna? Because our bhav is like that? No, we never change anything. So I see it's 9:30 now. I think this is not, we normally stop 9:30, isn't it? So I'll stop here. There's so much other more we can say. I had some other points, but I'll stop here. I'll take any questions or comments anyone has. Is there a mic that Prayojan Prabhu can then speak on?
Hare Krishna. There's a letter from Prabhupada, and in this letter he says, Krishna Bhakti Pade Devi Satyavatya Namo Nara. And that's interesting, because he actually says it.
I searched to see if I can see whether Srila Prabhupada ever said that.
Yeah.
It's in the letter,
and Shruti picked it up. I said, which one's right? He said, Krishna Bhakti. Now, Shruti doesn't usually say this sort of thing, because I always it was in the letter, and it was in the Shikshamrita, actually. So if I can get that quote from the Shikshamrita, very interesting. But also, Prabhupada has another letter, different opinions. But he said, it doesn't matter your differences of opinions, because there was a debate between, I think, Tamal Krishna Goswami, somebody else, maybe Dasi, about Krishna, and then he told them they were both right.
Yeah.
He said, as long as they both culminate in Krishna, you're both right. So there are different opinions, but a very interesting aspect. And I've got a copy of the letter in the house, but it's a shame I don't have that. But it's very, and he says the same with my God brothers. We have different opinions on how we address ourselves. But he said, we address the point that we must culminate in that this is Krishna. The final thing is that their opinions, but also they must. That's the principle.
Yes.
No. Okay.
I didn't get to this point, but we will see in this pastime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains there's different. In this verse, in the Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvasraya Pratishloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakaya. It means that in Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. So certainly, there are various meanings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, even in this word mukti, you can see bhakti. And later on, Sarvabhauma says, yes, I understand all of that, but still, I like to put bhakti there. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughs and said, okay, So, yes, I take the point you're making, everything in context. Everything in context, and the ultimate is Krishna. Ultimate is Krishna, but the point and the principle being established here is of a particular note in a particular context. And so thank you for that comment, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the lesson today. My question is, you said we shouldn't change the words of the Shastra, and so if it's not allowed to change the word, and if that word wouldn't be changed to bhakti, and it would have still be mukti, won't we all be practicing something else today?
No, this is what, if you carry on reading this chapter, and that's why I quoted this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In each and every syllable, there are various meanings. So this word mukti, I didn't want to jump the class and take away what someone else was going to speak, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the word mukti. It's traditionally, it just so happened that because of the Mayavadis, this word mukti has become associated with impersonal, Brahman liberation. But actually, that's not the actual meaning. There is a meaning in mukti that is completely aligned and perfectly compatible with our philosophy of bhakti. And the devotees will explain that in upcoming classes. So it's not that we see it differently now.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. When you're recounting sort of the story of this chapter, I sort of found it quite interesting that, you know, initially Lord Chaitanya philosophically defeats Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya before showing his, you know, Chamasundra form or whatnot. So could you maybe sort of comment on why it is that he first goes like philosophical and then somewhat, I don't want to say sentimental, but the Chaitanya form is a more sort of emotive.
It links very much with this point I was making about emotion and intellectual. Well, Prabhupada said philosophy without religion is mental speculation, and religion without philosophy is mere sentiment. So sometimes people may see God. You know, sometimes people ask this question: why doesn't God manifest himself and show? And then everybody will become God conscious. It doesn't work like that, doesn't it? Because if something is on a very sentimental basis, if it has no foundation, it has no depth, you know, that relationship or that progression in the spiritual life is very superficial. Although in Sarvabhauma's case, it was, you know, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed Vishnu and then his form of Krishna, then he may be performing some magic like Prakashananda Saraswati said. What magic did you perform on Sarvabhauma? Because he hadn't at that point understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he had spoken on Vedanta. So that's my understanding. Anyone with Govinda Prabhu, you can give your... Anyone? Prabhu? Paramakarana? Ananta Prabhu, no? Yes?
From what I've heard, we see through the eyes of Shastra. So, especially in bhakti, if somebody doesn't have faith, then Krishna doesn't reveal himself. So only as we develop and as our faith increases, then Krishna reveals. And firstly, he reveals through the scripture. So yeah, that's my humble point.
Thank you. That's a nice point. Nice point.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
So from what I have understood is, as the example of Shankaracharya, he was sent for a specific purpose. So if God started manifesting in front of anyone who started practicing it, so there won't be any leela or any play or any game in the bhakti or any trick that you have to, you know, find out the reason behind it. That's what I understood from the example of Shankaracharya.
I'm not quite sure I understood.
Like you said, Shankaracharya was spreading atheistic and Mayavadi thing, but at the end, he established the dhams and everything.
Yes.
So he was sent for a specific purpose.
Yes.
To spread the misknowledge or the false knowledge, to make a another play of leela, like what God wanted him to do.
Actually, that wasn't leela. The reason that he spoke Mayavad philosophy, because at a point in time in India, meat eating was being propagated. And they were using the Vedas as the basis for propagating eating of meat. So the Lord wanted to stop that. So he wanted to preach ahimsa. But because the basis of meat eating was the Vedas, he had to decry the Vedas. So Lord Buddha came, he decried the Vedas. So the Vedas had to be reestablished. And there was a big gap between voidism and personalism. So he was instructed to speak something in between, which is my impersonalism. So it wasn't actually a leela, it was a specific purpose in the historical progression of Dharma. Okay, Hare Krishna.
explain about the low-level sannyasi and high-level sannyasi. When you come to mukti, is any different?
What is your understanding of mukti?
That's reaching the level of understanding the God.
And what is that goal?
Something above us. God, Krishna or Vishnu. And I want to find out what's the difference. Vishnu, Krishna and Moginda is just the names, yeah?
Okay. So I'll just firstly explain about the principle of mukti, which you seem to have heard about. Mukti is synonymous with reaching a state where one becomes one with God. God is firstly conceived. There's three levels of understanding the Absolute. But their understanding of the Absolute is just one big energy, Brahman. And mukti for them means we, the tiny soul, becomes one with Brahman, we become God again. Okay? That is a misconception. The soul is individual, will always be individual, and its position is servant of Krishna. So that is never an eternal position, merging into impersonal Brahman. So it's rejected. So in terms of the lower level, the higher level, the people who propagate the principle of mukti, which is based on Vedanta, they think they're very high because they have, it's based on knowledge. And they feel the people who are singing and dancing and chanting, they are low-level sannyasis because they don't have knowledge. But through this pastime we knew, we heard, and we hear, oh, it's not true. And then very quickly about the difference between Krishna and Vishnu, and they are one and the same. Lord Brahma gives the example of a candle. You have many candles, but there is one original candle from which all the other candles are burnt. You may not be able to distinguish between the candles because they all got equal burning power. But there is one original candle, and that's Krishna. And then Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Devotion, there's four qualities that Krishna has, which is makes him complete, that even Vishnu doesn't have. And those four qualities is Rupa Madhuri. His form is the most beautiful, unparalleled. And then Leela Madhuri, his pastimes are so sweet. And then Venu Madhuri is when he plays his flute, he attracts everyone. And then last one is Bhakta Vatsal. His relationships with his devotees are so sweet and unparalleled. He can't compare with any other form. So therefore Krishna, because he displays the highest level of all qualities, he is supreme, even above Vishnu in one sense. That's a very brief description, but you can read more about it in Srila Prabhupada's book, The Nectar of Devotion, chapter number 19, Hare Krishna. So I think we'll stop here. It's time. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande, Hariri Bol.